Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Buddy, what a week it's been. Major upsets, major games, big plays. What's your highlight of the week?
Well, until Sunday, I thought, you know, it was just the upset round, the round of the underdog. But coming away from the round, looking back on it, the thing that impressed me most was really the fact that 10,000-odd people were out there on Monday night to watch Sydney versus the Phoenix. And we don't want to take for granted the fact that Perth pulls 13,000. But between those two teams, who I'm actually expecting to play off in the championship, depending on how good Stanton Kidd turns out to be. But that's 23,200 people attending two NBL games. That's phenomenal for me. That was my highlight.
Yeah, and a week before Christmas, that was a good point as well. You know, two nights before Christmas in the Sydney game, that's a phenomenal turning out. Oh, look, for me, if we're talking the men's, I can't go across Will Magnay, 23-14 against an NBA championship center in Andrew Bogut. I don't think Bogut was awful. I just think Will Magnay was outstanding in what was a major upset by Brisbane winning. But Will Magnay, what a game.
Yeah, he was sensational, and he didn't let up. It's not like there was some point in the game where it caught up with him. He seized his opportunity. I think he left no doubt that he's left Matt Hodgson in the dark. You know, Matty's dropped off. He's their number one big man at Brisbane, no question at all. And he was terrific. As from this point on, I will not be referring to him as Will Magnay. He is the Magnate.
Oh, nice. Dropped the mic. Body's done it. I want to see that. Hashtag Magnate. Hashtag Magnate. What about the women's, mate? What was your highlight?
Well, I think Keely Froling, Canberra needed someone to step up because they've lost Kelsey Griffin for 6 weeks with a fairly severe ankle injury. They needed someone to step up against Bendigo, and Keely Froling just put her hand up, said, yeah, it'll be me. She scored 30 points, 61%, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, dominated the game. That's what you want from a young player when they're given an opportunity. I mean, she's played a lot of minutes. Not like it's new to her, but she really seized the day. Yourself?
Well,
Southside? You got something on Southside?
So you know that I'm on the Southside Flyers, but I tell you what, I'm coming back home. Sydney Uni Flames, a double win. And not only that, beating the Flyers was the second game as well on the road. Two massive wins for the Sydney Uni Flames. They are definitely my highlight of the week. Well done to them.
WNBL wrap time.
Well, it is NBL wrap time, and we are going to start out round 10, of course, the WNBL. Amazing games. And, Boddy, I think we both picked Bendigo, but Sydney Uni Flames got that win on the first road trip of them for the Bendigo Stadium, 88-81 on the road. Great win.
I think only one of us picked Bendigo, and it wasn't the one that's talking now. No, I was very confident about Sydney. I picked Southside to beat Sydney in their second game of the round. That was the one that surprised me. But no, I thought they'd get Bendigo. I really think Bendigo is struggling. And when you anticipated that it could be a cricket score when Bendigo played Canberra in Canberra, that may have been the case until, obviously, Kelsey Griffin got ruled out. So they were able to play a much more competitive game than what they would have had Kelsey been playing.
Yeah, I agree. And a 10-point win there for the Capitals was just enough just to get the job done, basically. But 66 points, Bendigo, just not enough. Townsville Fire playing Perth, that was a beautiful game. And Perth getting in the end, 82-77.
Yeah, you got that one. I think I went for Townsville. I thought this was Townsville's chance to make a legitimate move up the ladder, and they blew it. I think their season's gone now. I can't see them coming back from where they're sitting at the moment. What is it, 3-9? No. There's too little margin for error when your record's 3-9.
Yeah, and especially with the other teams that were winning, you know, you got, well, Lynx of 5 wins, Flames 6, Lightning 6, Boomers 9. Yeah, I agree with you. They're just not going to come back for that. And then, well, the upset of the round, without a doubt, Sydney Uni, as I said just a little bit ago, beating the Southside Flyers, 86-79. That came out of nowhere.
Well, okay. Now, let's put it in some context, Brad, because if you take out Jenna O'Hay, who's the captain of the Opals, and you take out Mercedes Russell, who's a WNBA star, from the starting lineup of Southside, because both of them have ankle injuries, you know, that means you're promoting two players. Now, remember, we've talked in the past that Canberra and Southside tend to rely on their starting quintet a fair bit, and then there's a couple of other players that they also use. Now, you take those two out, and I think they were exposed. So I don't think anybody should that's a Southside Flyers fan should be worrying greatly about that loss. If you're a Flames fan, you should be rapt that you copped them at that moment, because that's majorly helped their finals drive. But I wouldn't be concerned if I was a Southside fan. And I'm really saying that to you, Brad, because I know you're a Southside fan.
Thank you very much. Troubled. But I'm still certainly not troubled, and thank you. I'll rest assured tonight. My temperature just went down a couple of hundred degrees, so thank you, because I was sweating and profusely worried. Yeah. But I got to say, even though, you know, Sydney Uni's second game on the road, Flyers at home, I know you take out two superstars, and you do that in most teams, it's going to hurt. I still thought they would have had enough, you know, prior to this round. I think, you know, Flames were 4-8, Flyers only lost one. But it just goes to show, when players are playing a really nice role, and let's, you know, talk about the other players in the Flyers, when you're 12-1, everyone's playing that really nice sync role. When you got to change that role, geez, it changes things up. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and certainly dramatically, because it wasn't like one player is out. Like with Canberra, they were able to make the adjustment with Kelsey out, because Keeley Froling has started a few games in the past. So that was no huge difference for her. It was just she seized that moment. But that's only one player. When you take out two, it's really starting to sting. And Sydney took advantage. I mean, Sydney's not a bad side. You know, just because they're not in the four right now doesn't mean they're not capable of being in the four. They played some good basketball this season. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised at the result when I knew what the circumstances were.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sydney is better than what their record of, 6-8? You are 100% right of that. Well, the next one, you got to say that was a double win for the Boomers by beating
Absolutely.
Adelaide. Adelaide obviously can still make the four, but the Boomers now, that just gets them to 9-4, where that would have been on, and now the Lightning go to 6-6. So that was just, you know, now they're two games shy instead of equal on losses. And that was a really big win for Melbourne.
It absolutely was, and it now appears that the WNBL Final Four is looking very much like the NBL, in as much as Southside, Canberra and Melbourne, you can lock them away in the same way that for some time we've had Sydney, Perth and Melbourne locked away in the NBL Top Four, and everyone's battling for the fourth spot. So that's really wide open there. It's even more erratic in the men, though, isn't it? I mean, it's all over the place there from week to week. Week to week we have a different fourth place contender, you know, stick their head up, so...
Well, we will come to that. And now we'll move on to next week's round, because these are going to be interesting, because there's a number of games there, five games, and a lot of them will have impact moving forward. Adelaide at home against the Capitals, that's a tough one for Adelaide. They need that win to just try and cement that fourth spot.
I actually think Adelaide will get that, and that's not the heart talking this time, it is the head. I just think the absence of Kelsey Griffin will be more substantial against a quality side like Adelaide than a less quality side such as Bendigo. So I think that one, Canberra is very vulnerable on this trip. It's the women's doomsday double. They've got Perth as the backup game. I think they're very vulnerable to dropping both of those games, but we'll see what happens. I'm going for Adelaide in the first one.
You know what I hate when I ask you, like, who do you think's going to win this one? And you say it, and then I realize, oh God, you said that before I do. So now I have to agree with you. I just don't like that.
No. And the only person that likes that less than you is me. So we have to agree.
I just want to change my pick and go for the Capitals, because you went for Adelaide, but I won't. I'm sticking with Adelaide because I think they're going to win that. The next game, Melbourne at home before Townsville. Before you get in, I'm going for Melbourne.
Okay. Well, I'm just to be different, I'm not going for Townsville.
I think we both agree with that one, and we're like you said, our Townsville's season's done. The next one will be interesting because that's the night after when Bendigo are at home against Townsville. Don't ask me why. I think Bendigo is just going to have a game in eventually. I have a feeling you're going to go for Townsville, but I'm going to go for an upset.
No, I'm actually going to go for Bendigo too. I think they're due, and they've got Carly Ernst playing well. I mean, as long as Tracy York doesn't muck around with the rotation too much, I think they're quite capable of getting Townsville, because as you say, it's back-to-back. It's Friday night, Saturday night. There's no day off in between. It's not a Sunday game, so Townsville would be very vulnerable. I think if Bendigo pull a good game together, they can take that one out. It's amazing, though, that only a couple of years ago, Bendigo and Townsville, I think they played in three championship series in a row, and here they are now at 7th and 8th.
Fighting to get off the bottom, basically. Yeah. I know what you mean. Perth versus the Capitals. Now, let's just put this into perspective. If the Capitals lose against Adelaide, they go to Perth and are literally fighting there to stay in the, you know, like in second and third spot. Because if they drop both of these. They go to five losses with the eight, with Lightning on six. So this is a big weekend for the Capitals that are injury hit. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to take a punt on Perth. I look, it's not that I don't like Canberra. I do. They're a fine, fine basketball club. But I just think Kelsey's absence is substantial. I don't know if they will have made it up. The only other wrinkle in this is Mikayla Roof, the American girl that they've got, who has played as an import in this league and is waiting to come through as a permanent resident. If that paperwork was to go through and Roof was to come in during the six-week absence of Kelsey Griffin, then that changes everything because she's another substantially good player that would make a difference. But if without her there, I think they're vulnerable. I think Perth gets them.
I agree that they're vulnerable, but I'm going to go for the Capitals because I think they're too good and they'll split the weekend. I just don't think they could lose both. That's just purely for that reason, nothing to do with the Perth. Yes, they're at home. I just think Adelaide to get the first one, Capitals to bounce back. Well, the last game to round out is another huge one where the Sydney Uni Flames at home versus Adelaide. Again, a huge ramifications on the top four here. After a double win last week and the presence or the background that I think Sydney are going to get with that and the hype, I think they'll get Adelaide on their second game of the weekend for them.
I'd like to know if it was someone from Sydney who did the draw. This is the second time Adelaide have to cop them. Well, they've been waiting, and Adelaide have already played a game. And go, that's what?
That's unusual for someone for Adelaide to complain about the draw when that's about them. That actually shocks me. Is that because you were just because you said something about Adelaide last week and you just want to get back home? Is that what that's about?
Oh, I just think there's interesting things happen in the draw. So, like, I don't think this is to Adelaide's advantage. I might think it might be to Sydney's advantage, but there you go. So Sydney's got Adelaide. I think the Qdos Bank Arena was a factor when Sydney beat Adelaide a couple of weeks ago.
Mate, I was at that game, no doubt. That crowd was phenomenal. It got them home. I totally agree.
Yep, and now we're back in the Flames' normal headquarters. I think it's nicknamed the Library, isn't it, or the Morgue? Anyway, I think I'm going to favour Adelaide to end Sydney.
I'll just take that knife out of my back. Hang on one sec. Here we go. Okay. Flames to win.
It's NBL wrap time.
Well, the NBL saw an amazing round last week. Do we want to just say it was the round of upsets, buddy? It was unbelievable. And we'll start with New Zealand Breakers coming out and beating the Phoenix on Friday night, 90-84.
Yeah, given that previously it was some 30 plus points that the Phoenix beat them by. Although, again, you got to have context. And that was the game where RJ Hampton got thrown out erroneously a few minutes in. Glenn Rice was playing, and I don't know whether he cared. And after halftime, they just didn't really play in that game. So that 30-point margin might be a little bit deceptive. But to get up and beat the Phoenix, I think this kind of puts New Zealand back in the top four picture. They might be in the distance. They might be in the background of the picture. Still a little bit blurry, but they've got some potential to come forward.
Yeah, I can see them. I can see what you're saying. I don't think they'll make it, but I can see it. Well, this was the major upset for me, Illawarra beating Adelaide, and I'll take Joey Wright's words where it was just an awful game. I saw the press conference. I can't remember his exact words. He was bitterly disappointed, and so he should have. Illawarra were great, but they're not that good. Adelaide were just awful.
Yes, they were, and they have a tendency to be, you know, one extreme or the other. It's 0 or 100. They're looking like a team that, I mean, had they won both games last round, and they were both winnable, Illawarra and Cairns, both winnable games, had they won them, they couldn't push themselves up into third position. Instead, they're now right back, deep in the pack, out of the four, and, you know, there was just no heart shown. I mean, what I loved about Illawarra is that circumstances meant, you know, like the foul trouble for Bill Preston and the absence of Josh Boone and David Anderson from the lineup meant the rotation was shortened substantially. And so we got to see some of these young guys a bit longer, and I loved them. I loved what Angus Glover was bringing, what Sunday Ditch has been bringing, but also Emmett Nahr, you know, and the kid, Hiram Harris. I hadn't really known much about him.
Yeah.
These guys,
wow,
these
he was
guys
a beast.
They're diving on balls. They're skinning their knees. They're playing Illawarra basketball, or what used to be Illawarra basketball. And I want to see more of them than Hobson and Preston.
This team, Illawarra, remind me of a year that I played in at the Sydney Kings where we had two imports and one of them was Kelsey Weems, and we ended up Alonzo Goldstein was the first import, and then we ended up getting AC Earl, who was a first round draft pick out of Boston.
Yes, yes.
And it reminds me of that team, except no disrespect to the Illawarra imports, because I think the Kings imports were a lot better. We had two good imports, but then our other three young guys were Matt Nilsson, Aaron Trahair, and Scott McGregor, and we built the team sort of around that. And what you found is those guys played hard, you win, but just not enough to make it. Right. And I think that's the thing with Illawarra. Everyone loved the way we play. We played hard. We dived on balls. We were great, but we just didn't have enough depth to finish. And that's what I could see out of that Illawarra team, where they've got young guys. They're great. They're playing. They won't win many games, but geez, they'll be fun to watch. But how good are they going to be in years to come? And look at Matty Nilsson, MVP, played all around the world, was phenomenal. So I do see where you're coming from. But geez, Adelaide were bad. And what about going to Saturday night now? Brisbane took care of the Sydney Kings, the upset of the round. That was unbelievable.
Yep. That, I don't know which is bigger, but probably Brisbane beating Sydney was bigger than Illawarra beating Adelaide.
Yeah,
because
you're probably
Sydney
right,
Yeah, they've been right up the top there all the way along. Now, that initially it was 6 wins and 1 loss and 5 wins and then a couple losses, and they got back on the horse the other week. But that was a, you know, when you think back to last week's program, when you're saying there's a game like this in Brisbane, you know, there's a game in them to come out and beat a top side, like, but this isn't it. Don't you wish you hadn't said this isn't it?
You know what's funny? I do a radio show up here in Sydney as well, and I have to give a roughie of a round because it's for the TAB and you know, like, it's for the punters and stuff. And I picked Brisbane as the roughie, right? So I think the punter's up here, but it was just one of those ones that you knew Brisbane had it in them, but I agreed. I didn't think it was that. The only reason I thought Illawarra, you know, what's a bigger game, Illawarra winning or Brisbane winning, is that Illawarra have been so bad, I couldn't believe Adelaide lost at home. Where with Brisbane beating the Kings, massive, massive upset, but Brisbane have that in them.
Yes.
Right, and that's unbelievable. But then you go to the next game, Melbourne United playing Perth. Now, how good were United, but how bad were Perth?
Yes. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? You just take the foot off the throttle a bit, just a little bit. You know, they were under the pump a couple of weeks ago, Perth, when they dropped a couple of games in a row. Then they've won 4 in a row. And so you just maybe just mentally ease back. Oh, yeah, we've already beaten Melbourne twice. So this should be a bit of a formality. And then you tend to forget the detail. And the detail was those two games where they beat Melbourne, it took a Bryce Cotton winner in one, and it took a Tarico White winner in the other. So there really wasn't much between them. And so, I don't know, just whether that mental approach was just a little soft, but they paid the price. I thought Melbourne was terrific. I also want to shout out to Mitch McCarron. I thought he had a lovely game.
Yeah, and not Wildcats basketball, as they put it down to. That was pretty atrocious. 74 points for the game for a team that's stacked the way they are to be able to get points on the board. Then we started to have some good games, right? Those other games, you're just sitting there going, wow, this is just not what I expected.
What's going on?
But then that Illawarra-New Zealand game, oh, look, New Zealand, got to give them kudos. That was a great win on the road to be able to get it done. But damn, Illawarra were fun to watch.
Yes, yes. Again, you know, you want these people. This is why 12 months ago or 18 months ago, when people were saying that Sydney Kings team of last season was going to be the greatest team of all time, and you ran through the starting line, at that time it was Randall, Lish, Newley, Kickett, and Bogut. I looked at that and I thought, yeah, when we think of that team, we think of that team in its prime, all those players in their prime, but they're not. They're not. And unless you've got, you know, a 34-year-old is not going to dive on a loose ball the way an 18-year-old is. So you've got to have the balance. And that's why Sydney's better this year, because they've got some other people prepared to come in and throw themselves around, like your Xavier Cooks, like your Craig Moller, like Sean Bruce. So that's why, just getting back to Illawarra, that's the thing I like about Illawarra, is because you're throwing those young guys out there and they show the old guys how to do it, how to play with zest. You know, they don't have the experience. And they don't recognize situations the way an older player will, but they will get you a loose ball and an older player won't.
Well, it was great. Emmett Nahr had 17, Blanchfield 19, AJ Ogilvie had 18 and 7, but for New Zealand, Scotty Hobson 21, Abercrombie, you know, chipped in, Henry was 21. It was just a real fun game to watch. It was just two teams that were fighting hard to get a win, and that's just what I enjoyed watching, and I think mostly everyone else did as well.
Yep. But then didn't we say this was a team off the rails against a team that's a train wreck?
Yeah, well, they both stopped at a station and got a bag of snack to eat and enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun to watch.
I thought Adelaide were better on Sunday, but still not good enough. Cairns, well, they're rolling to into fourth spot. You and I both picked Adelaide to get fourth spot. I don't think that changed. You know, prior to this weekend, but I tell you, after seeing what I saw from Adelaide, I can't see how they're going to change over the next month or two what we're seeing now. In other words, they'll have good weekends and bad weekends, and I have a feeling those bad weekends might stop them getting into the four.
Well, that's it. They fall into that category of teams you can't trust. You don't know. Yeah. You don't know what they're going to give you on a week-to-week basis, and that's been the problem with a bunch of these teams. That's a team like Brisbane you couldn't trust. Adelaide you now can't trust. New Zealand you couldn't trust. Cairns, you know, we couldn't trust them a little bit earlier, but I think we're starting to feel a bit more comfortable that Cairns is going to deliver a particular style of game, whether it's good enough to win or not. That's another story. And the Phoenix as well. I trust the Phoenix. I know they dropped two games on the weekend, but I trust the way they're going about it. And so
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you on the Phoenix. I do agree. I trust them. I like the way they're coached and I love their players. Sorry, keep going, but I agree with you.
That again. but that's all really I want to say, that I don't trust Adelaide. I don't see a team that week in, week out is driven with the same goal. I think there are people in that team that maybe are looking at their own stats a little bit too much.
Yeah, good point. So Cairns obviously got that win, as we said. Great win by them at home and really starting to, chase that fourth spot. Love what Mike Kelly's doing. And then the Sydney Kings rounding out the win. I called that game, had a number of commentary positions that I had, and asked the players. And look, 98 points, I think, you know, like Phoenix were happy with what they scored. They just gave up 110. And when you look at what they gave up, it was the bench guys. You know, you see Sean Bruce and these guys coming off the bench, and I thought they were tremendous.
Well, the point that you're making, 98 points would have won every other game.
Mm.
90, 93, 87, 87, 91, 94. They were your winning scores. So that 98 would have been enough to win every other game. So, yeah, you've got to credit Sydney for it. Coming through with 110. I'm not unhappy with Phoenix. I think they're still very much in this conversation. I'm less thrilled with Adelaide, and I'm still not convinced with Brisbane. I know they can pull out that special game here and there, but you know, you want to see it on a regular basis.
56 points off the bench is what I'm saying from the Kings. Yes. Yes. Kick at 18, Sean Bruce 12, Deshaun Taylor 15, and then you throw in the starters. Tate had 14, Brad Newley had 16. I don't know if we would have been able to think about this at the beginning of the season and say Casper Ware is going to have 9 points of 4 of 10 and play 30 minutes. Andrew Bogut's going to have 8 points and this team's going to win comfortably. That's real good. And I got to give a shout out, Xavier Cooks.
Yes.
Brilliant. 9 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 of those offensive.
Yeah, and a couple of blocks in there too. He was a presence in the keyway in more than just rebounding. So, yeah, I think they've got all the pieces. There's no question of that. You still got to slot Kevin Lish back in and Craig Moller back in. They're definitely the team to beat, no question. But right now on form, I'm liking Melbourne United, because that was a hell of a performance to go over to Perth and win out of the round. That was a really good performance. They haven't won there in a long, long time, like 5 straight games going back through last year's grand final series as well. And now you add Stanton Kidd, who's not a two-way player, as Joe Ingles pointed out on social media with the Utah Jazz. He was actually on the roster for the Utah Jazz. So this season, he's going to make a difference too. So interesting times ahead.
Well, round 13 starts on Thursday night, Boxing Day, Melbourne United. Is this an open-air game against Cairns?
Yes, and it's quite an occasion. I've been lucky enough to be at a few of these open-air games. It's really phenomenal. When that roof opens and you've got this beautiful blue sky, that's pretty special. Really big game, though. Gosh, it's a big game. Cairns have beaten, if I'm not wrong, twice they've beaten Melbourne up there, or did Melbourne get one? I can't remember now. But I know this is quite
saying.
The rivalry.
Cairns seem to have a chip on their shoulder about Melbourne, and maybe it's the fact of, you know, who they've recruited and things like that with Trimble going there. But Cairns seem to want to, you know, get Melbourne. It's one of those teams that they really want. But I just think Melbourne are getting some momentum, and after that win on the road, I'm with Melbourne. Who you got?
No, I'm also with Melbourne, but more so because I think Kuat Noi is important, and he's out of the rotation at the moment with an ankle injury. I don't know how long he'll be out, but that hurts him a little bit.
Brisbane at home Friday night against New Zealand. Oh, toss a coin again for this one. I'm going to say Brisbane because if they're going to make any charge whatsoever, it has to be this game. And New Zealand, whilst they won, I don't trust them. As we're speaking of trust teams, I'm going to go Brisbane. Who you got?
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go New Zealand for exactly the same reason as what you said, because if they drop this, they're pretty much out of the picture. It's just too deep a hole to dig out of. So I'm just going to go for New Zealand just on the punt.
You know, Perth are going to come out firing after the game that they had, and they'll want to get that Wildcats basketball back again. But can they do it at home on Saturday against the Sydney Kings at Qdos Bank Arena? That'll be a big game.
Yeah, massive. You know, I still like this as the grand final preview. I know I'm a big fan of what Melbourne United is doing as well, but Perth is a very consistent ball club. This is a big one. I'm not overly convinced by Sydney. I mean, it was a split last round, but then Perth lost. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm going to go with Sydney just on the basis of the fact that they're at home. You probably, the way we're going, they might get another 10,000 people there, which would be pretty phenomenal for Perth to be playing in a venue where there's that many people that are not on their side.
Well, the Phoenix, and I'm going for the Kings as well. I think they'll win that as well. The Phoenix are desperate to make history this season by becoming the first expansion club to make a playoff in their inaugural season. Now, they've got the last place Hawks coming in who are actually playing well, like we've said. It would be a disaster if they lost this Phoenix. I have no doubt they're going to bounce back and get a win, but Illawarra are not going to let them have it easy.
No, and I agree. And same. Phoenix will win. Illawarra will give them a bit of a touch up, but Phoenix will win.
Now, your boys. Let's just talk about
why
them,
would you say
we?
That?
Let's just talk about them, eh? Adelaide. Okay.
You mean Adelaide? I thought you were talking about New Zealand.
Your toys. Okay. Well, look, let's be honest, right? It could be a Breakers revenge game. Jerome Randle absolutely destroyed New Zealand, took their heart out a fortnight ago with that heroic game winner across the ditch. Oh, man. Adelaide are going to win because I know Joey Wright and I love him as a coach, and I think that he will have this team firing on all cylinders. But who knows? Who you got?
Well, I think Adelaide's going to win one this weekend, or this in the week coming. So, and they've got Perth later in the round, which I think we're going to talk about next week. But I'm going to go for Adelaide, but that's probably more heart than head. I like the way New Zealand's coming, and it would not surprise me again if they won both games, if they beat Brisbane and Adelaide. But see how we go.
Sunday the 29th of December, Mel United at home against Brisbane. Melbourne United winning both this weekend. Brisbane a split for me because I think they'll win their game at home. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Melbourne because I just think that if Kidd has a run on Boxing Day by Sunday, he'll be very, very comfortable in that team, and I think they'll get Brisbane.
Yeah, I agree. Now, there are three more games in this round, but we're actually going to talk about them next week. Boddy and I are going to get together on Monday, bring out our podcast on Tuesday. So all our listeners, we don't want you having to wake up very early on New Year's Day to have to listen to the podcast. So we're looking after you, all three of you that are listening out there, mum, dad,
say.
And Boddy's wife. So
you said listeners,
thanks.
Plural.
So we didn't want all those three people to have to get up early on the first. So we'll be talking about that next week to round out that round. But, geez, it's going to be a good one.
Just quickly, I met someone called Natalie who said, hey, I've subscribed to your podcast. Really like it.
Oh, and wait. What's her surname? Nodge?
No. But I was in
Rosen?
Shock. No, I was in shock. I was in shock. She said, we listened to it in the car. We nearly had four accidents when we fell asleep. But other than that, no. I was stunned and
thrilled. Hang on, she listened to it with volume? Boddy, I'm just going to change tack here a little bit. And I want to throw at you most improved. Now, when you listen on TV or anywhere around the league, everyone's like, Sean Bruce is having an amazing year. Dane Pinnell is having an amazing year. And let's say right now, they are. Brilliant.
Yeah, no questions. No question.
Unbelievable. But
if we, there's a lot more people in this conversation, surely. Because they're the two names we keep hearing. But
well, I'm going to throw one, Will Magnate.
Yeah, the Magnate. He's definitely got to be in the conversation.
Hashtag Magnate.
What about Majok Deng in Cairns? He's having a very fine season, way better than anything he did here. And Sunday Dech, there's another one for you.
Oh, yes, Sunday. How good has he been for Illawarra? What a great move by Matt Flynn to put him in the starting five.
Yes, that was a clever one. Great. Yep.
Now, you probably won't mention this, and I'll be honest, I don't think he could win it, but geez, Anthony Drimmick's been better this year than he has last.
Yes, I think he's in the conversation too. He's just been a little bit erratic the last couple of games, but then so has his team, so I don't think you can really focus on him for that. I think Drimmick has the potential to be a great defender in the Damian Martin ilk, like really an excellent defender. And then when he's got his three-point shot going, he can be a pretty devastating player. I think at times he still allows himself to be distracted and to get involved in other stuff that he shouldn't. If he was a really focused player, but that's the problem with Adelaide. I don't think they're fully focused all the time. But, yeah, he has to be in the conversation. Really, it's Dane, Pinot, Sean Bruce, Will Magne, the Magnate, Sunday Ditch. There's a few. Well, I mean, even Toey Smith-Milner, if you've got to play a bit more, the few times that he's had extended minutes, he's looked pretty good too.
I will say Sean Bruce just gets over the line for me at the moment, but geez, it's a talking point. And it's hard because when I think of Sunday Deck, I think, oh man, he's been brilliant. Then you go to Dane Pinot and go, mate, the Phoenix, they'd be lost without him. They would have had to stack their import. There's no question. And Will Magne, well, he is the future of Brisbane or of this league, that, you know, we're depending on where he goes. So, oh man, I tell you, it's a tough one.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
Okay, my nasty this week is actually, it's pleasant. It's Christmas. You've got to be nice. And I want to say, you and I have had our share of jabs at the New Zealand Breakers. Deservedly so, I might add. I don't take back anything we've said at the times we've said them, because they have been a train wreck. But right now, they are right on the rails. And I was very impressed with what they did at the weekend. I thought they were two excellent results to beat the Phoenix down in Christchurch and then to head into Illawarra, win on a last shot. Scott Hobson, he certainly put his hand up as don't forget me in any conversation about the best new imports this season. You know, you might want to talk Scott Machado and a bunch of the other guys, but Scott Hobson can certainly play, and his absence now, it shows how important he was while he was gone. I like what New Zealand's doing. They're 6-10. There's no margin for error, but they can make a bit of a run at it. How about you?
Body's showing some love for the Breakers.
Yeah, love the Breakers. So tell me about your Rattler.
Uh-oh, Rosen's Rattler.
What are you rattling this time? What can you rattle?
Yeah, my Rattler is a bit of a side one. As a commentator, and I run the sidelines and I do what I do and doing there, I find it frustrating if someone has an injury that I can't tell the listeners what's going on. And I've been to games this year, and yes, there's the Kings, and yes, there's you know, all the other teams that I've got. And I get frustrated when you say to a team, oh, can you tell me what's happening with injury? Oh, no, we don't know. They know, but they don't want anyone to know. It's like a secret society if you have an injury, right? And I feel like I've got to be James Bond, you know what I mean? Like, you just, it's frustrating because I want the viewers to know what's going on. But on the other hand, I so understand why a club doesn't want to tell every other club what's going on with an injury. Sure. But it's just, I'm caught right in the middle, and that's my Rattler. What do I do, Boddy?
Well, I think you're less James Bond and more Johnny English. But I think you just got to persevere and try and point out to the people in charge of information at the clubs that they have a fan base that has a right to know, or at least an indication of what it is. You know, if it's serious and they don't want to let out that it's going to be four weeks, then okay, fine, keep some of the information back. But they have a role to play in serving the public that support them.
Well, I agree, and I go under what my, God bless his soul, my old owner of the Sydney Kings, Mike Robleski, used to say, any publicity is good publicity. And if it means you got to say a player like, you know, whoever it may be is going to be out for a number of weeks, or look, he's injured and we're going to do it, it's his toe or it's his foot or it's his ankle or it's his head or whatever. I just think it is something that the public should know. And I agree with you. It's their right to know.
And one quick one. I thought that Rebluski used to say, what the hell is that Rosen still doing here?
He only said that for 188 games. Right, it was the last one that I told him I'm retiring. No, I've got to be honest, and we'll round out here. Mike Roblesky and I used to have, I did have an agent. Grant Cadee was my agent, and he was brilliant, did a fantastic thing for me. And he was Bruce Bolden's agent, and sort of Bruce, I think, told him to do me a favor. So Grant had, you know, like the best players in the NBL, Matty Nielsen, all of them, and it was great. And for me, I remember we used to go into Mike, and after a few seasons, Grant actually said to me, Brad, there's no need me to do this for you, mate. Like, unless you're going elsewhere, like, I don't need to speak to Mike. And I used to go into Mike, and it literally used to be like a 5-minute conversation. Brad, love what you're doing. No problems. This is all we've got. This is what we're paying you. And we want you on it. It was always a 1-year deal. I only ever did a 1-year deal with Mike. And it was like, you're happy with that? Yep. No problems. And we move on. It was literally 5 minutes. And I was very blessed to be able to have an owner that respected me for what I did, but also, you know, I wasn't like, you know, going to chase the $1 billion because I just wasn't that good enough. I knew what my worth was, and that's what I got. And he always respected that, and I loved it. So he was a good man, Mike. He was a very good man.
No question. And this is a very good note for us to end on with Christmas, because I want to say that the little I had to do with Roblesky calling him up from Adelaide when, you know, something isn't going on with Sydney Kings, etc., he always took your call. It was always candid. I had a great relationship with him. Loved the man. Very sad that we lost him so soon. And I think the league's poorer for his absence, but it's greater for his presence.
Couldn't agree more. And on that, I think we will end on that, Boddy. It's an absolute brilliant way to know. I want to wish everyone there from the Brad and Boddy podcast, all our 3 or maybe 4 listeners out there, that we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Boddy, to you, Merry Christmas. We will be back, remembering, not next Tuesday. We'll do this. We'll bring it out on Tuesday. So that'll be the 31st that it comes out. Boddy, thanks for this year, mate. Looking forward to Christmas. What are you doing?
I don't really know. I think we're just eating a lot. Family and eating and opening gifts, that sort of stuff. What about yourself? That's a thing, isn't it?
I'm actually off to Melbourne. I'm going down to see my wife's family down there. So we're going to be having many Hungarian Nodjon Finon meals. And we're going to have schnitzel, darling. We're looking forward to it.
Boldo Karaj.
Mate, thank you very much. Thank you to all our listeners. Please subscribe, like, and review. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And Boddy, don't forget your website, BOTINAGY.com. Quick throwing in, who's your player of the week?
I think it was Scott Hobson, just narrowly from the
Magnet. Good call. Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll see you next week.